friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Let's tip off the November 13th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports with Cameroonian basketball star Joel Embiid of the Philadelphia 76ers. The 24-year-old center from Yaounde scored 35 points and grabbed 18 rebounds Monday night to help lead Philadelphia to a 124-114 road victory over the Miami Heat. Embiid has been playing some excellent basketball early in this NBA season. 4 days ago, Joel had 42 points and 18 rebounds as Philadelphia edged the Charlotte Hornets 133-132. Now, Philadelphia's victory in Miami came just hours after the 76ers finalized a trade with the Minnesota Timberwolves to acquire four-time NBA All-Star Jimmy Butler. Butler is expected to make his debut for Philadelphia on Wednesday night when the 76ers play another game in Florida against the Orlando Magic. In other NBA results Monday night, the New Orleans Pelicans scored a 126-110 win against the host Toronto Raptors. The AP's John Lethierby reports from Toronto, Canada.
The Pelicans were led by their big three in their starting five as Anthony Davis had 25 points, Drew Holiday with 29, and Etuan Moore leading all scorers on the night, finished with a game-high 30.
I don't know. Yeah, I had a high hand, so they kept coming to me and they relying on me, so I just tried to make plays, and you know, it worked out for us.
For the first time all season, the Raptors couldn't seem to score in the paint, and it showed. The Pelicans outscoring them in that category 72-42. Pascal Siakam was Toronto's top scorer. A second straight game, he had 22 points.
They did everything better than us, so we just got to just kind of get over it and, you know, kind of learn from it and, you know, just go on and get prepared for the next game.
Kawhi Leonard finished with 20. The loss marking the Raptors' first loss at home this season and snapped a six-game win streak. John Lethierby, Toronto.
Thanks, John. We heard from Pascal Siakam of the Raptors in John's report. Like Joel Embiid, Siakam is from Cameroon. The NBA says there were 108 international players from a record-tying 42 countries and territories when the season began almost a month ago. In other NBA results Monday night, the host Los Angeles Clippers beat the defending champion Golden State Warriors 121-116 in overtime. The Sacramento Kings beat the visiting San Antonio Spurs 104-99. In the process, the Kings snapped a 14-game losing streak to the Spurs. The Oklahoma City Thunder stormed past the visiting Phoenix Suns 118-101. Five-time NBA All-Star Paul George matched his season high with 32 points for Oklahoma City. The host Minnesota Timberwolves topped the Brooklyn Nets 120-113. The Utah Jazz scored a 96-88 road victory over the Memphis Grizzlies. The Dallas Mavericks also won on the road, beating the Chicago Bulls 103-98. And last, but certainly not least, my beloved Washington Wizards won here in Washington, just a few blocks from our VOA headquarters, defeating the Orlando Magic 117-109. The Wizards have been less than magical to start the NBA season. It was Washington's fourth win against nine losses. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Tennis news now on the VOA. It's the third day of action at the season-ending ATP Finals in London. There's been spirited debate among the top players about the conditions of the indoor court at O2 Arena. Craig Gabriel reports from the British capital.
I've always said you can put five tennis players in a room and you'll get six different opinions. We have that situation with regards to the court speed at the ATP Finals in London. Kevin Anderson said the court is very fast. Kei Nishikori tended to agree. After his loss to Nishikori the day before, Roger Federer said it's slower than he thought it would be. Alexander Zverev smirked and said it was fast, then added, "If you hit the ball flat, it's fast, but if you hit it with spin, it seems to slow down and bounce high." See what I mean? Zverev then had a sarcastic smile and suggested, but Roger would prefer it fast. Zverev was given a tough time by Marin Cilic, who read 5-2 in the first set and also had a break in the second set, only to lose to the German 7-6, 7-6. It was a match with too many errors. With Cristiano Ronaldo then in the house to watch Novak Djokovic in action, the world number one didn't disappoint, as he accounted for John Isner 6-4, 6-3.
I had colours of his club on my attire tonight, so I'm sure he was happy to see that. It's great to have big football star, sports star like him courtside watching tennis. He is a fan of tennis, and it's really nice because he, you know, he's one of the biggest sports stars in the last decade, and you know, it's great for our sport to have him there. I saw he was there with his family.
Day 3 action will see Anderson play Nishikori and Federer plays Dominique Thiem, who has a 2-1 record on the Swiss. Craig Gabriel, VOA Sports, London.
Thanks, Craig. Also in London, England will host the U.S. men's national soccer team Thursday evening in a high-profile friendly match at Wembley Stadium. The Americans have been transitioning to a younger lineup of players after failing to qualify for this year's World Cup in Russia. England, meanwhile, reached the semifinals in Russia before losing to Croatia 2-1 in extra time. Yes, you might say U.S. soccer is getting a good taste of the United Kingdom this week. The U.S. women's national soccer team will play its final match of 2018 later Tuesday evening against host Scotland near Glasgow. The American women have had a great year as they look to defend their Women's World Cup trophy next year in France. The USA is unbeaten in 19 matches this year with 17 wins and 2 draws. Elsewhere, Ghana is getting ready to host Africa's qualifying tournament for the 2019 Women's World Cup football tournament. The 8-nation tournament kicks off Saturday, November 17th, with 2 matches in the capital, Accra. Ghana will host Algeria, and that will be followed by a game between Mali and Cameroon. On Sunday, November 18th, the action moves to Cape Coast in Ghana. The defending African women's champions, Super Falcons of Nigeria, who have dominated women's soccer on the continent over the years, will face Banyana Banyana of South Africa. Also Sunday, Zambia will play Equatorial Guinea in Cape Coast. Group play will continue through November 24th. The semifinals are scheduled for November 27th, with the final on December 1st in Accra. The top 3 teams in Ghana will qualify for next year's Women's World Cup in France. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The African Women's Cup of Nations tournament in Ghana will kick off as the penultimate round of qualifying matches for the 2019 Men's African Cup of Nations takes place across the continent. In a Group B qualifier on Saturday, South Africa will host Nigeria. Nigeria leads the group with 9 points, followed by South Africa with 8 points. Libya is third in the group with 4 points, while Seychelles, with 1 point, has officially been eliminated. Adetola Olubajo is the president of the Nigerian Union in South Africa. Reporter Iron Mike Mbonye called him in Pretoria and asked him how Nigerian fans in South Africa are supporting the Super Eagles of Nigeria.
The Nigerian Union of South Africa is currently mobilizing Nigerians from different parts of South Africa, majorly in Gauteng province, where the match will take place. Rallying around the people and telling them that, irrespective of what actually happened recently, that we need to come together and support Super Eagles because it's a must-win game for us.
Talking about the unfortunate incident that happened in October that led to the burning and looting of shops and wares owned by Nigerians, is it in any way going to affect the morale and spirit of Nigerians coming out to support the Super Eagles?
When it comes to sports, there cannot be anything that can go in the way of sports lovers. And when it comes to Super Eagles, it's a national pride. And I don't think in any way, because the response that we have gotten so far, there is nobody that have actually come up with that incident stopping them to support Super Eagles. So it will not in any way affect the support base for Super Eagles of Nigeria, because we need to support them.
Are you in touch or in contact with the Nigerian Football Federation and other relevant stakeholders on your plans to support the Super Eagles?
We have not been able to speak to the Football Federation, but we have actually spoken to quite a number of groups here. Also, the Supporters Club, because there is Nigerian Supporters Club here. We have actually rallied them so that they can actually be at the field to give us a better sharing why the match is going on. But in earnest, we will surely get involved with the Football Federation.
What is your take on the outcome of the match? What result are you expecting that day? Nigeria versus South Africa.
It's a win-lose. Nigeria win, South Africa lose. And then I'm predicting 2-0. Because irrespective of whatever challenges we are facing, both home and abroad, Nigeria is actually a very strong and resilient side. So, and South Africa doesn't really have a good record when it comes to facing Nigeria in times of football. So our boys will do us good. There's no way they will not do us good. So that's why I'm very optimistic with the support that we are going to give to them. It will actually be 2-0.
That's Adetola Olubajo, the president of the Nigerian Union in South Africa, predicting a 2-0 win by the Super Eagles on Saturday against Bafana Bafana of South Africa. And Adetola was talking with reporter Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Pretoria, South Africa. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
This is The Voice of America. Washington, Bob, D.C.
Voice of America.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. During Monday's show, I mentioned how Kenyan athletes Eliud Kipchoge and Gladys Chirono won the Ames Best Marathon Runner Awards in Athens. It was a tremendous year for Kipchoge, the reigning Olympic marathon champion. In April, Eliud won the London Marathon, and then about 5 months later, he smashed the world record at the Berlin Marathon, clocking 2 hours, 1 minute, and 39 seconds. For her part, Gladys Chirono won the women's title in Berlin in a time of 2 hours, 18 minutes, and 11 seconds. In London, Eliud was part of another Kenyan sweep of the men's and women's titles. In this sunny side of sports highlight for 2018, let's look back on the race in the British capital. I began with some kudos. Let's give a sunny side of sports salute to Eliud Kipchoge and Vivian Cheruiyot, who led a Kenyan sweep of the men's and women's titles at the London Marathon. Kipchoge, the reigning Olympic marathon champion, clocked 2 hours, 4 minutes, and 17 seconds. It was his third London title, adding to his wins in the British capital in 2015 and 2016. And Vivian Cheruiyot, the reigning Olympic 5,000 meters champion, won her first London Marathon women's title, crossing the line in 2 hours, 18 minutes, and 31 seconds. The energetic Andy Edwards caught up with both Vivian Cheruiyot and Eliud Kipchoge. Ladies first. Take it away, Andy.
We had great marathon racing in London, and indeed, the women's race produced... Well, not only a fantastic result, but really has to be called a surprise and some dramatic racing. And leading the drama was the women's winner, Vivian Cheruiyot of Kenya. Has it really sunk into you, Vivian, that you are now a 2:18, 2 hours 18 marathon runner? That's a big improvement over 5 minutes from your winning time in Frankfurt last October. And it puts you on a par with anybody else in the women's marathon in the world.
Yeah, I want to say that I'm so happy today because of the race yesterday. It was so fantastic for me to cut off 5 minutes to come to 2:18. It was unbelievable for me because I was thinking maybe I want to run to 2:20, and to run 2:18, it was so nice for me and it means a lot to me. So I'm seeing my future is bright ahead.
You talked after the race about how patience paid off for you. You felt that last year in London you were running a little too fast in the first half. Is that a strong asset, you think, in the marathon now, that you can be patient and you can run even splits and that's going to be good for you in the future?
Yes, I said yesterday that I learned a lot of lessons last year because I was still fresh from track and field. And if you find like track and field, you don't have to leave somebody to cover like that. So I was just closing Mary. And I didn't think that Mary is a different person. He has been running for marathon for a long time. And for me, it was my first time too. Yeah, the other day, we decided with my manager, Ricky Sims, and my husband, that I have to be patient. I have to go with 69 the first half. And I did what they told me. And it works very well. And I trained well since last year because we decided to change some things, and it worked. It worked very nice.
Of course, that's a big difference in from track racing to road running, isn't it? Especially the marathon. That in track you don't really have the experience so much of somebody coming back to you. I mean, you've always got your rival in sight if you are behind, but you've had to learn that kind of psychological strength for the marathon?
Yes, I had to learn about it because marathon is a marathon. It's a long distance. And for me, I used to run like, if I do my training, it was like maybe 20 kilometers, that I can do. But now you have to do a long workout. Everything has changed a lot. So I was thinking that I have to be patient because if you are patient, everything is going to be smoothly because you cannot come from track and field and just say I want to compete with Mary, I want to run 2:15. That is impossible. You have to come slowly by slowly. Even the child, when he or she is born, he has to go step by step. He has to crawl and go and up to yeah.
That's a great analogy. A baby, a child, has to first learn to crawl and then run. Well, you are certainly running. I'm wondering whether the Olympic marathon 2020 in Tokyo, whether that was part of your plans before the race, but certainly now, given what you've run, 2:18, and you talk about 2:15 in the world record, but Tokyo in 2 years, the Olympic marathon. Has that become a target for you now?
I don't have any plans about 2019 and 2020. It's going to come automatically because I cannot say what is ahead of me by now. When it comes 2019, I'll plan what is going to be happen on 2019 and then 2020. So I don't want to say much about 2020, but I hope to be in the team for the Olympics for marathon.
Well, Vivian Cheruiyot, many congratulations for such a wonderful performance to win the women's title in London 2018. Thank you, Vivian.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And thanks to the energetic Andy Edwards for that interview with Vivian Cheruiyot, the London Marathon women's champion. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Energetic Andy also spoke with Olympic marathon champion Eliud Kipchoge, who won his third London title. Once again, here's Andy.
Well, every marathon fan in London was privileged to see great races, and we certainly were privileged to see Eliud Kipchoge win his third London title. 9 marathon wins for the Olympic champion in total, and what a race it was. Tough conditions, and yet again, Kipchoge came through as the number one. You've had so many great performances. Given the hard conditions, the very high-quality field, where do you put that amongst your performances to win in London 204.17 and your third London title?
Oh, I think winning in London for the third time actually is a big achievement, very big achievement. That's a massive achievement, I can say. And yesterday was history. I won London for the third time and ran the second fastest time in London and also won World Airport Marathon Majors. So it's a massive, huge achievement yesterday.
We are in the middle of what could be called the Olympic cycle. I mean, you're the Olympic champion in Rio 2016, but Tokyo is coming fast, 2 years away. Do you have every plan, and does you and your coach have every plan to be on that start line in Tokyo to defend and with the aim of retaining your Olympic marathon title?
I think in Tokyo, I would love to be in the start line, hopefully, yes.
At 33, I mean, I saw you coming onto the stage here. We're talking just after the press conference in London. I mean, it's reassuring to know every marathon runner has some weariness in their legs. But do you recover any differently now after a big race like this to a few years back when you were less experienced in the marathon?
I recover more faster now. Take some massage and a cold bath, hot bath, and try to relax as much as possible. And that's the way to recover fast.
And you don't find, with all the training you've done, that the body aches a little more? You're finding you're recovering perhaps even better than ever?
Yes, I'm recovering better, so I have no problem with the good training, and it's all is well.
Well, that's something every mass runner, not just yesterday, 40,000 or so, can take to heart. Eliud Kipchoge, there you are, advice from the Olympic champion. Eliud, many congratulations, and we indeed look forward to seeing you on that start line in Tokyo in the Olympic marathon. Great stuff. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And thanks to the energetic Andy Edwards for his interviews in London. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
Is there a leadership deficit in Africa? Does the continent lack leaders who are compassionate about their citizens and believe in strong institutions? Host Shaka Sali returns to lead a discussion on the importance of strong leaders and strong institutions on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Thanks, Shaka, and welcome back. We look forward to seeing Shaka Sali on Wednesday for another edition of Straight Talk Africa. And that wraps up the November 13th edition of The Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Thomas Blondet. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, And that's the sunny side of sports.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
Is there a leadership deficit in Africa? Does the continent lack leaders who are compassionate about their citizens and believe in strong institutions? Host Shaka Sali returns to lead a discussion on the importance of strong leaders and strong institutions on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
This is Science in a Minute.
NASA reports that its Parker solar probe recently brushed past the sun, getting to within 24 million kilometers of its surface. The space agency says that it is the first spacecraft to get so close to the sun. Mission controllers at the Johns Hopkins University Applied Physics Lab say they received a status beacon from the spacecraft that indicates it's operating well after its solar flyby. They also report that as it reached its closest point to the sun so far, the spacecraft reached a speed of a little over 343,000 kilometers per hour. Before its mission ends in about 6 years, the Parker space probe is expected to get to within 6 million kilometers from the sun's surface. The spacecraft was launched from Cape Canaveral, Florida at 0731 UTC on August 12. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
The 2019 VOA calendars are in. This year's calendar features a variety of scenic photos that capture U.S. byways, including beautiful photos of the Big Sur Coast Highway and even the historic Route 66. Tune in to Border Crossings at 1500 Universal to request a free calendar.
What's up, Africa? I'm Jackson Bungani in Washington.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We love to have you on board. This is Upfront on the Voice of America.
Listen, we need to discuss what's going on in your communities, issues that affect you.
Are you involved?
Are you engaged in transforming your society?
Today, right now, this is your platform.
Let us know what you've been up to.
Check us out on Facebook. Drop us a line.
It's Upfront Wednesdays at 1730 UTC
right here on VOA Africa.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts. Every hour, on the top of each hour, 24/7. listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.